as I was going to say come by it naturally, but I don't think any of us come by it naturally. It's something that the Lord gives us, and the Lord has blessed him. And I know the Lord's going to bless us this afternoon through our brother, who I know has sought the Lord on what he should present, sought the Lord for the strength of tongue and of heart to deliver that message that this congregation needs. I feel really good. We have a few more here this afternoon than we normally do in an afternoon service. And I want to thank you and thank God that he placed in your heart that desire to be here. My brother Buzz.
Thank you. It's good to be here. I'm thankful for your prayers for me and for the blessings of God upon us and the scriptures that we have that the Lord has preserved that we might have them before us today. Sue and I just were out west and went to the Idaho reunion and were blessed to be able to travel to some of the western states and see the magnificence of God's creation and even the fulfillment of the prophecies of the everlasting mountains upon the land of Joseph as spoken of in the scriptures. I had that experience, and we just celebrated, of course, the 4th of July, and I am, of course, mindful of the blessings that God has bestowed upon this land that we're fortunate enough to live in. You know, a choice land above all other nations of the earth, a place that God has provided that we might have our religious freedom. And we read in the scriptures that things that were recorded 2,200 years before the birth of Christ, at the time of the Tower of Babel, and the confounding of the languages. And there was a man who had a brother by name of Jared. And this man asked his brother to pray that their language not be confounded, and it wasn't. And it goes on, and the brother continued to pray, and they were given a land. It was choice. They prayed about that they'd have a place to go, a land that would be theirs and be a choice land above all other lands. And that was granted, and we have those scriptures. I know we believe them, but I'm going to rehearse a little bit of it. In the book of Ether, we have Moroni writing of that record that was kept thousands of years before the 1,500 years before he was writing it. And I'm going to go to the Ether, the first chapter, starting in the 31st verse. And now we can behold the decrees of God concerning this land, that it is a land of promise. And whatsoever nation shall possess it shall serve God, or they shall be swept off when the fullness of his wrath comes upon them. And the fullness of his wrath shall come upon them when they are ripened in iniquity. For behold, this is a land which is choice above all other lands. Wherefore he that doth possess it shall serve God, or shall be swept off. For it is the everlasting decree of God, and is not until the fullness of the iniquity among the children of the land that they were swept off. And this cometh unto you, O ye Gentiles. He's writing to us. He's writing to us today. And he's saying, you know, that you may know the decrees of God, that you may repent and not continue in your iniquities until the fullness come, that you may not bring down the fullness of the wrath of God upon you, as the inhabitants of the land have hitherto done. Behold, this is a choice land, and whatever nation shall possess it shall be free from bondage and from captivity and from all other nations under heaven, if they will but serve the God of the land, who is Jesus Christ, who hath been manifested by the things which we have written. And he goes on and continues to talk about the Jaredites, and we find when we read that they God led them, instructed them, they did what God told them, and they were blessed. They were even blessed and brought to this land of liberty, and they flourished, and it was well, and they were, and then they hardened their hearts, and they turned from the God and became prideful, and let sin creep into their lives, and they became selfish, and narrow-minded, and hard-hearted. And we read the history, they ended up being destroyed. But their record came forth, and it came forth to another group of people who were blessed by God, who father of the Nephites, Lehi, had been praying in Jerusalem, and he was instructed to leave, and he was blessed. And his family was blessed, and they journeyed here, and they were given this land of freedom, and were given the same promises that it would be blessed. And yet, you know, years later, the Nephites and those that had the gospel, who Jesus Christ had come to visit after his resurrection, and had all the promises, they fell away, became hard-hearted. Where the Nephites were destroyed, and the Lamanites became a dark and a loathsome people, and the fulfillment of these scriptures that we have. But we're given the promise that this is a choice land, and it says the Lord went on, and he says here in the Book of Mormon that others would come for religious freedom. Others would be sent by the Lord to this land of liberty, even to this country that we live in. And we realized, you know, our forefathers, you know, the Puritans had a desire to have religious liberty and be able to worship the way they wanted. They left their mother countries. And the Lord blessed them, watched over this country. We were established on Christian moral principles. And yet again, we see today that our country is deteriorating in those things. We find that there has been a falling away. We find that in 1947, the Supreme Court redefined what it meant by separation of church and state. It was no longer that there wouldn't be a church-regulated state, but they interpreted it as that you couldn't have anything to do with religion and government. Even to the point that today they were unable to teach morality in the school, unable to preach, unable to teach basic virtues of a good Christian godly life. Because supposedly it's against our Constitution. And we find that in the day and the time we live is spoken of in the scriptures, and I really have a reason for us are going through here, but you should bear with me. I'm going to 2 Timothy, the third chapter. And I believe this is the day and the time that we're living. This knoweth also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. You know, that's the day and the time that we live. Denying the power of God. You know, back at chapter or something, it says that he that denied the power of God is as an infidel, as a non-believer. And you know, we in this country, as a country, are and by our actions are denying the power of God. He's already shown us those that have come that haven't heeded it and taken the blessings and have turned from them, and how they were, the wrath of God came down upon them. And you know, he's trying to show us that unless we as individuals and as a culture repent of our sins and allow Jesus Christ to lead us in our life, we too will fall. There will be nations that will come upon us and persecute us and destroy the very culture that we believe in, that we have a hope for, that we enjoy. We're told in Matthew in the 6th chapter in the 33rd verse, you know, I sat at the Sunday school program Friday night, and I said, you know, I could have got the idea for my sermon right here, because they were talking about a lot of the things, and you know, and of course, one of the things that they did, they quoted the scripture and something. 6th chapter, 33rd verse. I think we all know it. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. They were wondering how they were going to be clothed. They were wondering how they were going to be fed. And he's telling us, don't worry about those things. I will take care of them, but seek first the kingdom of God. Where have we been taught that in our life except here? You know, the world doesn't teach us that. We're to count on things of man, man's knowledge, man's institutions, man's government, but we're to seek first the kingdom of God. You know, and in seeking that, he tells us to be good citizens. He tells us to pay our taxes and those things. But where do we get our spiritual energy from? Who is it that we have responsibility to serve? Who is it that we have been made a covenant with to serve him all the days of our life? And so we're instructed, you know, throughout the scriptures. Hebrews 11th chapter in the 6th verse says, you know, he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So we need to do that. I'm going to try to quote a scripture here without reading it. It's in 1 Nephi in the 5th chapter. 121st and 126th. I'm going to read it. First Nephi, 5th chapter, 121st, 122nd. Behold, the Lord esteemeth all flesh in one. He's not a respecter of persons. You know, we're all important to him. He goes on, he that is righteous is favored of God. Those that have diligently sought him, those that have submitted themselves, those that are numbered among the righteous, God will bless. That's his promise. He says it throughout the scriptures. In Alma, in the 3rd chapter, ninety-eighth verse. And now I say unto you, all you that are desirous to follow the voice of the good shepherd, or Jesus Christ, come ye out from the wicked, and be ye separate, and touch not their unclean things. We're to be different. We're to separate ourselves from the things of this world that are not pleasing to them. And behold, their names shall be blotted out, that the names of the wicked shall not be numbered among the names of the righteous. Don't have part in their wickedness. that the word of God may be fulfilled, which saith, the names of the wicked shall not be mingled with the names of my people. For the names of the righteous shall be written in the book of life, and unto them will I grant an inheritance at my right hand. You know, numbered among the righteous, we find here First Nephi in the 7th chapter, he will not suffer, in the 35th verse, for he will not suffer that the wicked shall destroy the righteous. Wherefore he will preserve the righteous by his power, even if so be that the fullness of the wrath must come, and the righteous be preserved, even unto the destruction of their enemies by fire. Wherefore the righteous need not fear, for thus saith the prophet, they shall be saved, even if so be it by fire. Verse 41, for behold, the righteous shall not perish. For the time surely come that all they who fight against Zion shall be cut off. So, you know, the 19th chapter of Alma, 71st verse, it says, you know, the decrees of God are unalterable. The way is already prepared that whosoever will may enter therein and be saved. You know, the plan of salvation has been prepared. We have to submit ourselves to Jesus Christ. We have to repent of our sins. We have to place our faith and trust in him and not in the arms of flesh, not in those things of the world that we live in. We're to, you know, humble ourselves and be baptized. To enter in that straight and narrow gate, to make a covenant, to follow the example of Jesus Christ when he went down into the water and he came up out of the water and received the gift of the Holy Spirit. That we must be born again of the water and the Spirit, as spoken of in the Scripture. And then we must endure to the end. We must continue following the example. Most of us, I know we know that. I know that's our desire. I know that, on the other hand, that now not all of us have gone down into the waters of baptism yet. Many of our young children, you know, are just getting taught those things, but they're important. It's the plan of salvation. It's the way of God. It's God's promise to us in this day. So, we have all these things going on. We have the fulfillment of the prophecy and the wrath of God coming upon this country two or three times. And, you know, even though it was a choice land above all other lands. We see our own culture and our own society and country being degraded and being ripened in iniquity. What is it that we can do? There's a question I want us to ask, each one of us ask ourselves. What is it that I need to do to be numbered among the righteous? What is it that I need to be doing? How do I need to live my life in this time that we live in today to be numbered among the righteous? What do the scriptures tell us? Can I continue the way I'm going? Do I need to look in my life and make improvements? To work on to perfection as spoken of in the scripture. To draw ourselves closer to our Heavenly Father. And I'm going to read some of what I think are those. Not all of the things that we're to do. Just some of the some thoughts for us, 10 or 11 of them, I guess, of things that we ought to be praying about, that we ought to be looking in our own life about and measuring ourselves against the things that are taught in the scriptures. Because these are the things that we're going to be judged by. These are the things that are going to be determined where we spend eternal life. Because we're all going to be resurrected to eternal life. We're either going to be numbered among the righteous or we're going to be numbered among the unrighteous. Either eternal life with our Heavenly Father or eternal damnation according to the Bible and the Book of Mormon. According to those things that we have, those instructions that we have. So we have to look within ourselves for those things. So I'm going to turn to 2 Peter. And I find when I read these things that I am lacking. And I need to make improvements. And I hope I have the right. I know that the scripture is right in front of me. Oh, here it is. You know, I'm right on the right page. I have my hand on it, and all I see is words. And I'm going to read from 2 Peter, the first chapter. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that obtain like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that have called us to glory and virtue. Whereby are given unto us and exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Telling us how to escape these things. Besides this, besides our faith, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fail. So I'm going to spend some time on those things and think about our judge ourselves, I guess I'm thinking. You know, we're to add to our faith virtue. You know, I looked it up, and you know, we all have a connotation of what it is, and at least I think we do. A moral excellence, a goodness, a purity, a modesty, a righteous behavior, virtue. Are we seeking the Lord? Are we allowing him to direct us? We're to add knowledge. We're to add the knowledge of the scripture. We're to add the knowledge that he is, that he created everything in the heavens and the earth, that we approve of him, that we're here, that we take delight in him. And that knowledge is a gift of God that he's put into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. We're to add temperance, a self-control. We're to be in control of our passions. I mean, it says, master of our passions. And we don't let the lust of the flesh or our senses drive us away in our carnal state. We're to be watchful for those things and to be calling on ourselves to be in control. We're to have patience. We're to endure and forbear those things that God has placed before us. We're to be thankful for what we have in the situations that God has put us in. We're not to murmur. We're not to complain. We're to endure in faith, knowing that he has promised us eternal life, something beyond our comprehension, and through him that we can overcome all the trials and temptations of this world. Forbearance, long-suffering in the Lord with a delight, knowing that he is with us. We're to add to all these things a kindness. What is it to be kindness? You know, we're to be kind. We're to have a zeal toward others. We're to be concerned about them. We're to be a driving force within us, to place others before ourselves, to be concerned about their affairs, to have a mutual compassion for them and their trials and their tribulations. To remember them, not only to be kind to them, not only in helping them physically and emotionally, but to be praying for them, that the Lord might be with them, that they might feel them. We're to put the love that we have for them into action in our life. We're to have charity. You know, the pure love of God, the fulfillment of a Christian life, is to have the charity one for another. It's the antithesis to our selfish carnal state. It's the opposite of what we are, carnal. It's complete turning ourselves over and changing. And we're to work towards that. You know, these are the things that we're to be looking at and searching the scriptures and getting an understanding what they mean and placing those into our life, so that we might be found, it might be found well with us in the day of judgment, that we might be numbered among the righteous, that God will preserve us, that we'll be his, and he'll remember us. And you know, we have to have a zeal for those things. We have to seek first those things. We have to know that he will provide for all our other needs. And that's where he wants us to place our efforts in our own judgment upon ourselves, not upon others and what they're doing or not doing, but upon ourselves. One of the things that we need to do is we need to take the sacrament. According to the scriptures, I'm going to turn over the 3rd Nephi in the 8th chapter. Starting in the 39th verse. And when the disciples had done this, Jesus said unto them, blessed are you for this thing which you have done, for it is the fulfilling my commandments, and this doth witness unto the Father that you are willing to do that which I have commanded you. And this shall you always do unto those who repent and are baptized in my name. And talking about taking the communion or the sacrament. And you shall do it in remembrance of my blood, which I have shed for you. that you may witness unto the Father that you do always remember me. We remember the covenant that we made in the waters of baptism. We're to come before his throne and partake of the communion. And he says, and if you do always remember me, you shall have my spirit to be with you. His guiding spirit will be with us in our daily walk in life. And if you shall always do these things, blessed are ye, for you are built upon my rock. But whoso among you shall do more or less than these are not built upon my rock, but are built upon a sandy foundation. And when the rain comes, rain descends, and the floods come, and the winds blow and beat upon them, they shall fall, and the gates of hell are already open to receive them. So he's telling us, you know, he's going to give us spiritual strength by doing these things. Going into the Bible, we go into the 1 Corinthians in the 11th chapter, and we find Paul talking to the Corinthians, and he's talking going to talk here in the 23rd verse about the taking of the communion. Forever, and I'm going to start at the 23rd verse of 1 Corinthians, 11th chapter. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After this same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament with my blood. Do this do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. And as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. But he goes on, and now he's giving us instructions in what frame of mind we should take those things, that we need to prepare ourselves for this. He says, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. If we haven't, if we're to do it, his spirit will be with us, but we're to come, remembering him and the covenant that we made with him to serve him all the days of our life. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat that bread and drink of that cup. For he that drinketh unworthy eateth and drinketh damnation to himself and discerning the Lord's body. If we haven't come with that purpose of remembering that covenant and promising to serve him, we're taking that unworthily. For this cause, many are weak and slim, sickly among you, and many sleep. For if you would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. We're to look within ourselves. And to, first of all, he's telling us, prepare ourselves. Take stock of where we are in our life. How do we have the attributes that we're to have to be numbered among the righteous? And we have a time to come before his throne and taking the communion with full purpose of heart. And promises his spirit will help us to be able to accomplish some of these things that he's telling us to do, to get spiritual strength from him. It's the only way we can separate ourselves and overcome ourselves, overcome the world. So we're to add the virtue and kindliness and charity and all those things. We're to take the Holy Communion. We're to be baptized and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to turn, and I want to talk about repentance. Because we must continually repent. We need to repent to be baptized. We need to ask God to forgive us of our sins and be obedient to his teachings. And he will bless us. And Paul, again, is writing to the Corinthians. I'm in the 7th chapter of 2 Corinthians. And I'm going to start with the 8th verse. For though I make you sorry with a letter, you know, he wrote him a letter and admonished him. He says, I don't repent, though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle made you sorry, though we're but first. You know, he's sorry he wrote it, but he's not sorry because they repented, but they only did it for a little while. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that you, but how they were made sorry. But they were sorrow to repentance. They were sorry for their actions in, unto repentance. As far as repentance, they made a commitment to remove those things from their life. For you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. But godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Now he's telling them, you were sorry, but we need to have a godly sorrow, which worketh repentance. You know, a sorrow that we end up repenting and changing and forsaking our sins and changing our lives. He said, but behold, the self thing that you sorrowed after a godly sort. He goes on and he was explaining how what they did, with what carefulness it wrought upon you. It brought your attention to things. For yea, what clearing of yourselves. Yea, what indignation. Yea, what fear. Even what vermin desire. Yea, what zeal ye. What revenge in all things you have approved yourself to be clear in this thing. A complete repentance. A complete changing of that the sin was shameful, that you know you had a, they had a firmament, not firmament. Somebody help me. A zeal to change, you know, or even a fear, you know, and that's what we're to have, you know. We say we're sorry about things, you know, but what we're to that godly sorrow that bringeth upon the repentance. We're to ask God that we might have that. That we might have that to such a desire that we judge ourselves and remove our sinful actions from our life. It's imperative. It's imperative for to each one of us to think about that. In our own mind, judge ourselves according, not to our opinion, but according to the things that are written in the Scriptures, that we might be numbered among the righteous, that it might be found well with us. You know, the Sermon on the Mount, a beautiful scripture, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, you know, showing us how to live our life and treat each other, even how to pray. You know, how to love one another, how to treat our brothers. You know, it's just a marvelous scripture, and it goes through it. It tells us, you know, to enter in by that straight and narrow gate, that baptism, and to continue, knowing that there only few there be that find it, and it was more than just praising God and talking about his marvelous miracles and everything, but he says there, those that do these things will be blessed. You know, the things for us to do, the scriptures are full of. And so we have them before us. I'm going to turn to the 2nd chapter of the book of Mosiah. And I read this, it's read here a lot, but it's good. Thirteenth verse. Believe in God, believe that he is, and that he created all things, both in heaven and in earth. You know, if we believe that, There is not any way that we can deny the power of God. We go out into the western states or wherever we are in the world and look what God created. You know, we can't deny the power of God. You know, and we have to start that out with a premise, you know, in our mind that God can accomplish all things and he never changes. He says, believe that he hath all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and in earth. And therefore, we have to submit ourselves to him and give him honor and praise and keep his commandments to work towards being numbered among the righteous. Believe that man cannot comprehend all the things that the Lord comprehends. We see things and we're wondering, now, how can that be? Does God really mean that? You know, I don't really believe that. But maybe it's this or maybe that. We're to accept these things and place them into our heart and know that God made them. God stated them. The things that are written in the scriptures have been preserved for spiritual direction in our life. We're to teach our children to honor God, to be obedient, to be submissive, and to be in control of their emotions and their temperance and forbear. And we're to be examples for them. And it says, and believe that you must repent of your sins and forsake them, to leave them behind and change our life, to have a godly desire to remove even the thoughts of them from our life. And I fall short of that. You know, so we all need to, you know, look at these things and ask of God that we might have that zeal that's required, that we might be numbered among the righteous, that it might be well with us. So we're to humble ourselves. The scriptures say we're to come with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. We're to put aside our selfishness, our human instincts, and to completely yield ourselves to him. And ask in sincerity of heart that he would forgive you. Goes on and he says that if you believe all these things, see that you do them. Think about that. You know, I read that scripture a lot. You know, but I guess I ought to read it every day and look at within myself and say, you know, do we really believe that God hath all power in heaven and earth? Or do we think that we can have a little bit of sin in our life and still be numbered among the righteous? Can, you know, do we want to be among those that God favors? That he says he will preserve. They'll be found well with him no matter where we are. We already know in the culture and the time and the place that we live and the things that have happened be prior to us, do we think that they are not going to happen now? Well, don't we all, in some respect, deny the power of God in some of the things that we've allowed to get into our life? Think about it. Our, you know. But he's calling us. He's giving us these tools. The opportunities to repent, come before him, take the sacrament, have his spirit to be with us, read the scripture, and to pray, and to fellowship, and to strengthen one another by our prayers and our testimony to being among the body of Christ. And having that zeal for one another, that mutual desire, that kindness. And again, I say unto you, I have said before that as ye have come to the knowledge of the glory of God, or if ye have known of his goodness and have tasted of his love and have received a remission of your sins, which causes such exceeding great joy in your souls, even so I would that you remember and always retain in remembrance the greatness of God and your own nothing. And his goodness and long suffering towards you unworthy creatures, or us unworthy creatures. and going on, what do we need to do? And humble yourselves even in the depths of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily and standing steadfastly in the faith of that which is to come, which was spoken by the mouth of the angel. And behold, I say unto you that if you do these things, you shall always rejoice and be filled with the love of God and always retain a remission of your sins. We do those things. We'll retain a remission of our sins. We'll be favored. We'll be numbered among the righteous. To doing those things that He has taught us to do. And so, I have tried not to bring all the things that we're not to do. I'm not listing those. I try to list some of the things that we're to do. Something that we can do about, look at ourselves. We can make those changes with the help of God. That we might take these things with us and to ponder them in our life. And I'm going to turn to the 16th chapter of Alma. It says, yea, humble yourselves and continue in prayer unto him. Cry unto him when you are in your fields, yea, over all your flocks. Cry unto him in your houses, yea, over all your household, both morning, midday, and evening. Yea, cry unto him against the power of your enemies. Cry unto him against the devil, who is an enemy to all righteousness. Cry unto him over the crops of your fields, that you may prosper in them. Cry unto over the flocks of your fields that they may increase. But this is not all. You must pour out your souls in your closets, in your secret places, and in your wilderness. Yea, and when you do not cry unto the Lord, let your heart be full, drawn out in prayer unto him continually for your welfare and also for the welfare of those around you. Skipping down to the 228th verse, for behold, this life is the time for men to prepare to meet God. Yea, behold, the day of this life is the day for us to perform their or for men to perform their labors. Let us not procrastinate. Let us remember each other in our prayers. Let's continue to search the scriptures and ask God for that understanding that cometh by him. Thank you for your time.